What's up, you guys? I'm Andrea.
And I'm Haley.
And you're listening to Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Hello, hello, and welcome back.
Hello.
Happy new week. I always say happy week. Why do I do that? Happy week.
Happy week.
Happy new week. hope everybody had a great weekend, like nice chill vibes.
Yep. And it's Valentine's Day week / Galentine's / love yourself. Yes. I feel like I'm just like, everybody's kind of like in the mode of like Valentine's Day should just be about like love in general, whether that be for like
true
a partner or friends or family or yourself. So in honor of that, we love you guys.
Yeah, we love you guys so much. Happy Valentine to all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm actually going to a Galentine's party tonight. Today's Saturday while we're recording this, and my sister is throwing a little Galentine's shindig, so I'm excited for that because your girl needs a break.
That sounds like so much fun. And ever since you told me that yesterday or a couple days ago, I was like, I want to throw a Galentine's party. And then I was like, there's no way I can do that this year, but next year I'm going to do that.
Yeah, if you were closer, you could totally come with me. But
that I know I'm just gonna hop on a plane real quick, fly out there, come to the party, and then fly back. See you later.
That would be so funny. I feel like that would be something that like our group of friends would do, though. Just like hop on a plane real quick and like hang out, and then go back home.
Oh yeah, like Rob comes home with the baby, my husband comes home with the baby, and I'm just gone at the airport flying to South Carolina.
He's like, what the hell? You're like, it's fine, there's milk in the freezer, you'll be all
right.
All right, well, all jokes aside, let's go ahead and jump into today's case. And I'm going to be discussing the death of Alonzo Brooks.
I've never heard. Well, I don't know. I feel like that name does sound familiar, but.
So his case was featured, and I will talk just a little bit about that later in the episode, but it was featured on the new reboot of Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix.
Okay.
And I'd actually watched it, I guess, back in 2020 when it came out, and then forgot that I had consumed that. And then when I was doing the research, I was, you know, I always try to look for, you know, articles and documentaries or whatever on cases.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I already watched this. But I watched it again because I wanted to see if there was any information that I may have missed from, you know, other sources. And it is just a really awful, sad case. And I just, first and foremost, I just feel so much for his mother. You know, as a mother, of course, we can always resonate a little bit with that. But I just, this has really, you know, affected her. And even to this day, she just, because unfortunately, there's no resolution, no closure.
Oh, it's unsolved.
Yep, it is unsolved. So his whole family, he was the youngest of five children, so he was the baby of the family. And it's just such a sad, awful case. But with all that being said, let's just get into it.
Okay.
Alonzo Tyree Brooks came into the world on May 19th, 1980, to proud parents Billy Brooks Sr. and Maria Ramirez. As the youngest of five children, Alonzo was affectionately referred to as the surprise baby by many family members due to the unexpectedness of his arrival, which
I can
kind of resonate with that because my two younger sisters were both surprise babies. So, which I was thankful for because I was like, please let me not be a only child anymore.
Yeah, that's so cute. Yeah. I love that.
Alonzo and his siblings, Billy Jr., Demetra, I think it's Demetra, if I'm saying that wrong, I apologize, Felicia and Esperanza are biracial. Their mom is Mexican and their dad is Black. And the only reason I even mention that is because it comes into play a little later in the story.
Okay.
There was a significant age gap between Alonzo and his older siblings, so his mother was especially protective of her youngest son.
Like the baby of the family.
Yeah. Like, I mean, of course, I'm protective of both my sisters, like, and they're babies. There's a significant age gap between us as well. So I can understand that. Like, I'm just protective, and I'm protective of my own kids too. So just all the way around protective. Alonzo was fondly described as a well-mannered, good-natured prankster who had a deep love for football, martial arts, and animals.
Aww.
Yeah.
I love the martial arts aspect of that because if you guys didn't know, I did karate for 10 years and have a black belt.
That still blows my mind every time. I'm like, Haley's a black. Sometimes it'll just hit me. I'll be like, Haley's a black belt.
Yeah. I think crazy. It's because it's now been about 10 years since I practiced. It like, I like forget about it sometimes, but it was such a huge part of my life for so long that whenever I hear like somebody else is doing like any type of martial arts, or like if a friend has their kid like start martial arts, I'm like, oh yeah, like heck yeah, this is awesome. Cause yeah, I did like self-defense martial arts, not like taekwondo or anything.
Oh, okay. That's so the best it was very, one, honestly, especially as
yeah,
a woman.
It was, I know, I feel like my husband will ask me like, do you think you'd remember anything? Like any of the, cause we had a lot of like moves that were set together into like techniques, and he's like, do you think you'd remember any of those? And I was like, honestly, no, but just the like fact that I knew how, like learned how to punch and learned how to like,
it's like
put
muscle
moves
memory
together. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, total side tangent, but I love whenever somebody does martial arts because it was such a big part of my life for so long.
That's awesome.
So go Alonzo.
When Alonzo, who was often referred to as Zo, so he kind of went by two little nicknames sometimes, like Lonzo and Zo.
Okay.
That's my cute. Like friends and family. But when he was growing up, he would frequently become upset when his older siblings went out and he couldn't join them due to the difference in age.
Aww.
Which I can also relate to, even though I'm the older siblings, like when my siblings were like teenagers and stuff and they were like going to parties and dances. I was like, why'd you guys wait so long to have kids? Like,
yeah, well, especially when it's like your siblings going out and doing stuff. You're like, you know, you want to be with them. And the fact that he was so much younger and like couldn't, I'm sure was hard for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So after Alonzo's parents divorced, it's kind of unclear the time frame on that, but they did sadly divorce. He initially lived and worked in Topeka, Kansas with his father, but then in his early 20s, he moved to his mother's in Gardner, Kansas.
Okay.
Unlike many, Alonzo wasn't one for going out. Instead, he preferred staying home and appreciated those special moments with his family, especially his nieces and nephews. So he was really close with his siblings and his nieces and nephews and loved just like spending time, hanging out, babysitting, whatever the case may be.
Aww.
But on April 3rd, 2004, Alonzo decided to attend a party with a few friends, Justin Sprague, Daniel Fune, and Tyler Brogard. And they went to Lacing, which is approximately an hour away from where Alonzo lived.
Okay.
So this little party was being held at a farmhouse situated in a particularly remote area just outside of town. And Maria, Alonzo's mother, recounted in an interview with Dateline that she still to this day has vivid recollections of that evening. She described it as a brisk night and remembered Alonzo getting ready for the party. According to Maria, Alonzo informed her that the party was a send-off to someone who was joining the Navy. And she told him before he left that he should dress warmly, that she loved him, and that she would see him later that night.
Mm.
According to Alonzo's friends, who were interviewed later, as they arrived at the farmhouse, they immediately noticed the large crowd congregating outside. Upon entering, they observed numerous groups of people engaged in drinking games such as Flip Cup, and Alonzo was excited to join in. He appeared to be enjoying himself.
Okay, another tangent. Flip Cup is the same thing as, oh my God, why am I blanking? Rage Cage, right?
Never heard it called Rage Cage, but...
So I think it depends where you live.
Yeah, we call it Flip Cup down here in LaSalle, but I know there's like other games, other drinking games especially, that have different names depending on where you live. So yeah, that makes sense that it might be called something like out where you live or like when you were in college or both.
No, I think where I – well, we play Rage Cage here, but now I'm thinking maybe that's not the same game. I can't remember, honestly, but – I
flip
feel
cup
like
is where you flip the cup, and then when it lands on its like right side up, then you drink, and then the next person goes.
Okay, flip no, down that's the not line. Rage Cage. Rage Cage is where like you bounce the ball into like from you. Rage Cage is where you bounce a ball, and then you can like stack. Oh, that's what it is. Rage Cage is the same thing as stack cup. Some people call it stack cup.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so never mind. Flip cup is just flip cup, but okay. Yeah, it is when you play. There's certain games that like are called different things, or yeah. Like in college we called a daytime party a darty, but my sister in college in California called it a dager.
Oh, like a like, day rager.
Day rager. So that that's was funny. Like something. Anyway, total side tangent, but
that's funny. So it's reported that his friends were kind of taken aback by his uncharacteristically outgoing and energetic behavior that evening, because Alonzo was typically more quiet, more reserved. So he was kind of like, woo, ready to rage, you know, like, right. let's have a good time. Like, let's get some drinks. Let's
and that
know,
wasn't
have a good
like
night.
Him.
And that wasn't like him. No, but he also okay. like never partied either, really. So, you know, when you're in certain environments, like it just kind of brings out that side of you.
Yeah. Maybe he was just like excited to finally be like letting loose.
Yeah. So most of the people at the party, they didn't know like their group of friends, and it seemed like a pretty tight-knit group. So right there, that kind of, to me, feels a little problematic.
Because
I know I've been to parties where I didn't really know anyone, and like my group of friends just kind of randomly showed up to like crash the party or whatever, and people were like giving us the side eye and the stank eye and all that stuff. So that's the vibe I'm feeling from this.
Okay. Got it.
And it was initially supposed to be just kind of like a low-key party, but there ended up being about 100 people in attendance.
Whoa.
And it was quickly evident that Alonzo stood out as one of the few, if not the only, Black guest.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Most of the partygoers were 16 to 20 years old, so you can imagine there was also a lot of underage drinking going on.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point during the evening, Alonzo and another individual engaged in a heated altercation, apparently stemming from a dispute over a girl. I saw it reported as different things in different sources, but it kind of seemed like maybe Alonzo was just casually talking to a girl, and her boyfriend, significant other, interest, whatever, kind of got jealous and it got heated.
Okay.
Reportedly, offensive and racist language was exchanged, prompting one of Alonzo's friends to step in to try and defuse the situation before it escalated further. Soon thereafter, his friends Daniel and Tyler learned about another party, and around 11 p.m., they left for that party.
So, but he's still at the party.
He's still at the party, and his other friend that he came with, Justin, were still at the party.
Okay. Got it.
So, they're both at this party, but they're occupied with their own activities. They're doing their own thing. They're not really interacting much, which also is kind of normal for a party, like, depending on how comfortable you are. But this is the recollection from Justin.
Okay.
He also reported, Justin, that at some point in the night, he and Alonzo were both out of cigarettes, so he set out to purchase some for the both of them.
Okay, so now Alonzo's the only one from the original group at the party.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes. According to Justin, he inadvertently took several wrong turns as he was unfamiliar with the area and became lost. After a period of time, Justin contacted a friend named Adam and asked if he could give Alonzo a ride home, to which Adam agreed. Later, Adam informed Justin that he was unable to locate Alonzo, and he eventually left the party, assuming that Alonzo had found another ride home. And it's interesting because in a couple of the sources, it said that Justin just went home after this. But in a couple of the other sources, it says that he went to a strip club with some other friends, and they actually got kicked out of the strip club, allegedly. So okay. I don't really know what the real story is to that, but if he ended up not going home, I don't know. That's just a little suspicious in my opinion.
Yeah. Especially because, like, the friends that he went to the party with were all not there. So, like, who did he go with? Not that he didn't have other friends, but, like, I don't know. That just, right. like, makes me nervous.
Yeah. According to Alonzo's childhood friend, Rodney English, it was alleged that Justin's story has never remained consistent through the years of interviews with law enforcement. Alonzo's mother, Maria, stated that Justin, quote, changed his story 6 times concerning the night of the party, and Rodney was deeply insulted by the numerous revisions in his claims. So, I don't really know. I saw in the episode of Unsolved Mysteries, you know, him recounting what happened that night, and I've seen a couple of quotes in articles, and those were kind of consistent with each other. There might have been just like one tiny detail, so I'm not exactly sure what the different claims were. Okay. Over the course of several years that he was interviewed,
right?
And it's also reported that he was allegedly under the influence of both alcohol and marijuana that night, so maybe he doesn't even have a clear memory of everything,
right?
So
that would explain why it's changed multiple times, if
right.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to mention it because obviously his family, his friends are pretty upset that this has happened and that they don't have a clear idea from friends because they left him at the party, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. That's understandable.
That's a problem. Yeah. So the following day after the party, Maria woke to a flurry of calls from Alonzo's friends, all trying to determine if he had made it home that night. He hadn't. Worried, Maria reached out to various family members and close friends, yet none of them had any news of Alonzo. Maria called authorities to report her son missing, only to be told she had to wait 48 hours. Refusing to accept this, she insisted on filing the report immediately, firmly stating that she knew her son and this was highly uncharacteristic of him. Her conviction was supported by Alonzo's siblings, who reiterated that he always returned home, being a true homebody who cherished his own bed for a good night's sleep.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, from everything you've said about him, it doesn't make sense that he would not go home.
Purposely.
If he was like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The day after the party, the Brooks family and Alonzo's friend, Rodney, traveled to Lacing to look for Alonzo. They reached out to the Linn County Police Department as well to notify them as to what was going on. One of the initial observations they made during their search was the emptiness of the farmhouse where this rowdy party had occurred the previous night.
Okay.
To their surprise, there was no furniture, no trash, or any signs of occupancy at all.
And how long after is this?
The next evening.
12.
So like less than.
Not even 24 hours.
Not even 24 hours. Yep.
Hmm.
Later, they would discover that the property was a rental. And that kind of led me to speculate whether the person who threw the party perhaps illegally gained entry to the home and hosted the event without the consent of the property owners.
Yeah, and then like cleaned up real quick.
Yeah, which I feel like is like, I'm not going to say it's like a normal thing in the country or like, you know, out in the like more rural areas of town. But I feel like it's easier to get away with something like that. So
yeah, and it definitely happens or like, yeah, or like if somebody threw it like, threw a party at their parents' house and their parents didn't know and like you had to clean up real quick before they get home the next day. Like that could explain that, but it is still very
odd.
Bizarre.
Just very odd, yeah. And the fact that his friends didn't mention that there was like no furniture or like anything in the house. I mean, obviously they were playing Flip Cup on what?
Right. Like, I don't know. Yeah.
It was just odd to me. But as they continued their search, they came across Alonzo's boot and hat, which were situated across the street from where the party had taken place. Shortly after, they found his other boot. And I'll share a picture of this because they were not in close proximity to one another.
That's suspicious.
Yeah. As they continued to canvass the area, an unidentified individual on a four-wheeler confronted them and insisted that they leave. So this is a large property, like lots of acreage, super long driveway from the road to the house. The house is situated way off the road.
Okay.
So it would be, in my opinion, if somebody was watching or somebody was close by, pretty obvious that there's a group of people searching on this property,
right?
You know, without, quote unquote, without permission. Cause I mean, they just went to look for him, which I don't blame them, but
right.
Somebody was watching and they went out and told them to leave, which,
okay,
you know, is fair if that's your property or
if it's private property. You know,
yeah. Yeah. But they were
still frustrating because they're just trying to find their loved one. And especially like his boots being found.
Exactly. Yeah. So I would be like, like, what if he's right there and we're just not there yet, you know?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. They promptly reported the encounter and their discoveries to law enforcement. And surprisingly, it did prompt an extensive search of the area by police. And they did both ground and air searches.
Okay.
However, no further trace of Alonzo was found. Despite what seemed like thorough search efforts by the local police and eventually Kansas State investigators in the following days, Alonzo remained missing.
And like you said, what if he was just somewhere there and by the time like official searches happened, he was gone?
Right. I mean, from what I gathered, they searched the area for a good little while because it was starting to get dark. So if they got there like in the evening and it was like starting to get dark, they probably had like a couple of hours, maybe hour.
Yeah.
An hour to 2 hours of search. So they did get a good like canvassing of the area. But, you know, it, like I said, it was huge.
But you said it was a big property.
So they didn't get to search every corner.
Okay.
And then Alonzo's family was notified that they were not to continue searching for him on the property, which understandably frustrated them and left them feeling defeated and hopeless.
Huh.
So police basically were like, we have done the search. He's not there. You are not allowed to search for him either. So.
Wow. Okay.
But they were just like, how could he just vanish into thin air?
Especially with his boots being there, like,
yeah,
I'd clearly like something happened.
Yeah, either he, in my mind, was running and lost his boots as he was running, and his hat, or somebody tossed them.
Okay.
After damn near a month of extensive quote-unquote searches conducted by both local and state departments, Alonzo's family was finally, at last, granted permission to conduct their own search of the surrounding property. On the very first day of this new search, Alonzo's body was discovered. He was found partially resting on a pile of brush and branches in the creek that was nearby, approximately 250 feet from the farmhouse.
Oh my God. So was he there the whole time?
I don't think he was.
I mean, the fact that they, like, searched and he was only that far from the farmhouse, like,
I'll share a picture of the overview of that too, where you can see the farmhouse and then see the creek that kind of runs. It's not exactly like adjacent, but it's part of it is, and then it kind of curves off to the what left or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, if they searched, law enforcement searched, in my humble opinion, there's no way that they overlooked his body being there.
No, no. Even though it's like kind of separated and not like right there, that's not
far. Yeah, 250 feet.
And of course, they're going to look around the house first. Right. So,
and then kind of
there's no
slowly
way.
Disperse outward.
Right. Oh my God.
Alonzo was fully clothed and there were no visible signs of trauma on his body. Like I just said, the question that arose was how his body could have been overlooked during the extensive searches conducted over the past month. It just doesn't add up to me.
No.
The official autopsy could not determine a cause of death.
Oh.
The postmortem examination revealed that Alonzo did not have any broken bones, signs of blunt force trauma, or injury. There were also no biological signs of drowning in his lungs.
Okay.
Investigators remain unable to gain a clear picture of what took place at the party, even after speaking with his friends who had also been there. And regrettably, Alonzo's case goes cold. At some point between 2004 and 2019, it's unclear exactly when this took place, local and state law enforcement passed Alonzo's case to the FBI.
Okay.
In 2019, the FBI made the decision to reopen his case, expressing their concern that Alonzo died under highly suspicious circumstances. This led to a comprehensive review of the evidence spanning back 16 years.
Wow.
They initiated re-interviews with numerous witnesses who had been present at the party where Alonzo was last seen alive. They also gathered statements from new witnesses and reviewed all accessible physical and forensic evidence. On June 11th, 2020, the FBI made a public announcement regarding a $100,000 reward seeking information that could potentially lead to the arrest, prosecution, or conviction related to Alonzo's case. In the following month of July, Alonzo's body was exhumed, and the FBI revealed their intent to investigate his death as a potentially racially motivated hate crime.
Wow. My God.
Yeah. So whatever evidence that they gathered,
there was something
the FBI gathered led them to this assessment.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Nearly 9 months after these developments, on April 5th, 2021, an update was disclosed by the FBI. They released a statement announcing the outcomes of a new autopsy, which was conducted at the Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. This autopsy revealed that Alonzo's cause of death was homicide and that his body had injuries inconsistent with normal patterns of decomposition.
Okay.
The acting attorney general for the District of Kansas stated in a press conference, quote, "We knew that Alonzo Brooks died under very suspicious circumstances. This new examination by a team of the world's best forensic pathologists and experts establishes it was no accident. Alonzo Brooks was killed. We are doing everything we can and will spare no resources to bring those responsible to justice." Which is like, hell yeah. Like, I'm so fucking thankful yeah. that somebody is doing this, even though it's a little late, but, you know, we accept it.
And that they're saying he was killed. So whatever, there's evidence showing that, because you don't just say that, like, if there's no evidence. So there's right. evidence showing he was killed, which means there might be evidence that could lead to his killer.
Exactly. So there are several theories into what people think happened to Alonzo. And obviously we don't know the full, you know, realm of what the FBI gathered when they conducted this new autopsy. But based on the fact that his injuries were inconsistent with normal patterns of decomposition, most people feel like he was kept in some sort of freezer until being dumped, because like we said before, there's no possible way that he was missed during the searches, and then all of a sudden, boom, there he is.
Yeah, there's no way.
His poor brother finds him, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of people theorize that maybe he was under the influence of something, or even unconscious, maybe like you said, from alcohol poisoning, and left in the freezer to die, which could explain why the initial autopsy was inconclusive and a true cause of death cannot be determined at that time.
Wow.
Another theory, allegedly, let me just say that first and foremost, was that Alonzo's friends took him to that empty farmhouse and murdered him. Now, we don't have a motive for why this could be, but it is suspicious to a lot of people that they brought him to a party and then left him there, knowing that he was being called the N-word, that he had altercations with people because of his skin color. It just doesn't make sense. If these people were his true friends, why they would just abandon him, essentially.
I agree, but I don't think that they took him somewhere and murdered him.
Yeah.
Like, I agree they shouldn't have left him there.
Right.
But I also am hesitant to say that it's super suspicious. Like, I don't think they did it out of, like, with, like, malintent.
Yeah.
I think they were just drinking and figured, like, he's around other people. Right. Or, you know, people make poor decisions when they are under the influence. And so I don't think that they were like, we're going to leave him here so he can get hurt. Like,
right. No, yeah. I don't lean towards this theory either. I lean more towards the him being kept somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Like, that just makes more sense that he was taken somewhere. Even if he died accidentally because of alcohol poisoning or, like, drugs or something, he was clearly, like, somewhere and then moved.
Right.
Which means somebody did something and needs to be held responsible.
Yeah, because that's illegal, too. I mean, just doing that is illegal in and of itself.
Yeah. And I don't believe that he, like, I don't believe that there was no foul play involved.
Right. And I mean, pretty much the FBI has confirmed that, you know, he was murdered. He was killed. Yeah. So whatever
Which
that
means
entails.
There's some sort of evidence showing, like, somebody did something purposefully to him.
Right. And another theory is that whoever did this potentially had connections to law enforcement. So it'd be easier to evade police or an investigation. And that they could hide, they could cover it up, basically, again.
And then that's why, like, years went by before it was, like, passed on to the FBI.
Yeah. So, again, these are all theories. These are all alleged. There's no evidence to support any of them necessarily, aside from it just being unusual that he didn't have normal decomposition to be left in a field for a month.
Right.
In April.
Right.
But
yeah, I definitely think somebody did something to him and then held him until, like, a bunch of the searches had happened and they thought that he wouldn't be found, and then put him in the field so that he could decompose, and then that search happened and he was found.
Yeah.
That's my theory.
Yeah. I think so too.
Oh, it breaks my heart that his family just, like, doesn't have answers. But at least it does seem like, you know, the FBI is working on it.
Yeah,
and
absolutely. They're driven, for sure.
And just the fact that they've come out and said, like, he was killed proves that there's some sort of evidence that we don't know about that hopefully means one day there will be answers. Yeah. Because there's probably more that we don't know about.
Right. As I previously mentioned, in 2020, Unsolved Mysteries featured Alonzo's case on an episode titled No Ride Home, which is, like, so sad and heartbreaking because that's exactly what happened. He had no ride home, and then this horrible thing happened.
Yeah.
But silver lining, since that airing, Unsolved Mysteries has received thousands of tips in his case.
Okay, well, that's good. At least it's getting attention.
Right. Those that seem credible have been passed along to the FBI and explored further. Alonzo's case has received the most tips out of all the cases on the show.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Yeah. But despite the fresh interest in Alonzo's case, there are still no answers as to what happened to him nearly 20 years later. Like who and why someone may have committed this horrific crime. Anyone with any information is encouraged to call the FBI at 816-512-8200 or 816-474-TIPS. Or you can submit a tip online at fbi.tips.gov. And I will have all of that linked in the show notes. Please, if you know something, say something.
Say something. You can be anonymous.
You can be anonymous. Just, exactly. Yeah. Like, you are holding this family back from getting closure that they so desperately need and deserve.
Yeah.
And especially if you were not involved and you just hold the information, like, do the right thing.
Yeah.
Clear your conscience, come forward, and do the right thing.
Truly.
But that is all I have for you guys today on the death of Alonzo Brooks.
That's again, so sad.
I just feel so much for his mother, especially, and his family, his siblings. To lose their baby brother this way is just unfathomable.
Yeah, I really hope that there are going to be answers. And it does seem like, you know, if there are answers to be found, they're working on it. And so I think, yeah. I think it'll happen. I just hope it's sooner rather than later.
I do too. I think that the FBI is on the cusp of solving this case.
Yeah.
But thank you guys so much for listening. We will have a brand new case for y'all later this week. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.